Take your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 24. Let me say, if you missed this morning's sermon, I challenge you to go online and listen to it this week. It will be a very helpful sermon for you. And folks, I'm dying of heat. I've had all I can take. Whew. All right. We weren't talking about your heart. All right. All right, but if you missed this morning's sermon, I preached a sermon this morning about marred, not flawed, about the potter, and I promise you it's something that you have not heard probably quite like that ever in your life, and I think it'll be a very helpful sermon for you. All right, Joshua chapter 24, we're going to read verses 18 through 27. I'm going to get a muzzle for her. Joshua chapter 24, verses 18 through 27. Let's read responsively. Joshua 24, 18 through 27. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. They said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which were among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak, which was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord, which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. And let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. Holy Spirit, please fill me with your power. Lord, as we look at your word for the next 30, 35 minutes, please, would you just embed a truth into our hearts and our minds, please, that we need tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite people in all the Bible is the man Joshua. He was a great man. He's not usually listed with Moses or David or Paul or Peter, but probably one of the greatest men in all of Scripture is the man Joshua. let me give you just a little idea of Joshua's life. He was born in bondage in Egypt. He was born as a slave child, virtually. He grew up in Egypt. He began working as a young man in Egypt as a slave, virtually. And he was an adult man when Moses came back to lead the children of Israel out into the wilderness. Matter of fact, he was over the age of 40. He had spent over 40 years and probably somewhere around 50 or 60 years in the land of Egypt. So he grew up under Egyptian rule. And then Moses came on the scene, and he decided he would follow what the Lord wanted. By the way, good idea. Grew up under harsh conditions, but never once, you go through the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the book of Joshua, you'll never find one place in any of those books where Joshua ever complained about anything. Had a good attitude. Not only that, he was a man of great faith. He had enough confidence in the man of God that he just did what the man of God said. He followed Moses. Matter of fact, Joshua chapter 1, the Bible says that Joshua was Moses' minister. He was one of the two men that when the battles were going on, Moses lifted up his hands, and while his hands were lifted, the children of Israel prevailed. When he put them down because they were tired, the enemy prevailed. The Bible says that he and Hur took a rock and pushed it under Moses and sat him down, and they propped up Moses' arms so that the children of Israel could win. Joshua is also a military leader. Not only was he a follower, but he was a military leader. And may I say this, he was a leader, he was a follower, he was a good man, he was a hard worker. And I find nowhere in Scripture where it ever says Joshua ever strayed from truth. Not one place. Joshua was a man that should be emulated by many. Matter of fact, he was the one that God chose after Moses disobeyed to take the children of Israel into the promised land. He was the one that God chose to conquer Canaan land. By the way, he was one of the two spies that said 40 years before that, let's go in and get it. We can take this.
Yes, sir.
He and Caleb were the only two. 10 said they couldn't. 2 said they could, of which one was Joshua. Joshua said, God's on our side. We can do this. He was ready. He was rip snorting, ready to fly, amen? And he got outvoted. Joshua was a man of balance. He knew how to obey and carry out orders, as well as how to command troops. He knew how to be second in charge to the leader and die to what he wanted, as well as when it was time to lead, step up and lead. He knew how to both follow and lead. He happily served Moses as an assistant, and not one time will you ever find that he was vying to be top dog. You never hear Joshua saying, well, I want to take over Moses when you die. He wasn't looking for a position. He just wanted to serve God.
That's good.
Not only was he a man who had great principle, but he was a man that lived by great principle. He didn't just believe in good principles. He lived by biblical principle. See, there's a difference. He didn't let anyone change him from what the principles of God were. He stood against 10 others when they went in to spy the land. He stood by principle. And he didn't let the negative report and the negative vote of the children of Israel keep him from believing they couldn't get into the promised land. Joshua is also a man that led his family to serve God. There in the same chapter, we did not read the verse, but verse 15, one of the most famous verses of Joshua chapter 24. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was a man that commanded his troops. Joshua was a man that commanded the nation, but he was also a man that said, if everybody else does wrong, my house will serve the Lord.
That's good.
By the way, he was 110 years old when that was said. He was about to die. He wasn't a young man. He was older than Fred. Not much, but he was. Now, wait a minute. He set the standard by which his family would live by principle. Let me say this. He didn't let his family live contrary to the word of God. There was no exception. Let me say it this way. There was not an exception because it was his family. God's principles for everyone. God doesn't care what your last name is.
Right.
I hate to disappoint you. I've got one of my children sitting here. She's grown up for 21 years hearing this statement. I don't care what your last name is. You're no better than anybody else. You're no worse than anybody else. Doesn't matter what your last name is. You live by the rules. Doesn't matter who you are. I wished our government would learn that. You see, again, I find no place in Scripture where Joshua lived his life a wrong way. He just followed God. Now, I want to give you three things tonight that will help you. I've entitled this, My Hero, Joshua. My Hero, Joshua. First of all, Joshua was willing to do the little things well. Joshua was willing to do the little things well. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, look at verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Wow. I don't know a greater title, honestly, in all the Bible than Moses' minister, assistant. He served the man of God. He served the leader. Joshua was not interested in leading. He was waiting on God to say who was going to lead as much as anybody else was. Pardon the illustration here, but I can hear him saying, me? Shazam! you got to be kidding, Lord. No, you were with him every step of the journey. You know what to do. You heard me command Moses. You've obeyed. You followed. Who better than to do what I say than you? If you read through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, you'll see this statement over and over and over again. As the Lord commanded Moses, so will we. And he said, as I have commanded Moses, so I command you. Joshua paid attention to the little details. Joshua was not wanting to be the leader. He wanted to serve the leader. I'd been an assistant pastor for 23 and a half years. I had no intentions of pastoring. But I knew when God wanted me to pastor, I would be willing to do it. I took the reins and started this church. And I told God, I'll be your assistant. I'll have the title pastor, but you're going to pastor. I'm just going to be your assistant. And it's been pretty good for the last 6.5 years. God's pastoring pretty well. Amen. We're making tracks. You see, Joshua never saw a small job because they're all part of the work of God. Therefore, no job is a small job. Jesus said, even a cup of cold water in my name is a big deal. Miss Mung makes sure that I have water all the time. Say, what is that cup of cold water given in the name of Jesus? Just to keep the preacher's throat from drying out. Say, well, that's not much. Maybe not to you, but to God it is. God doesn't look at the big things. He's looking at the small things. In other words, let's make everything we do big for God. Turn your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. It's right after the book of Psalms and Proverbs, right in the middle of your Bible there. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And look at verse number 10. If you ever want to good verse to memorize, this would be a good one for you. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Notice what God says here, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. It doesn't say whatsoever spiritual thing you find to do. It says whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. Amen. It doesn't say whatsoever you want to do, do it with your might. I do a lot of things I don't want to do. Matter of fact, some of the things I don't want to do, I do with more fervor than the things I do want to do because I want to get through them. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Did you know there's no such thing as a little job?
Amen.
No such thing. Good night, ladies working in the nursery is not a little job. That's a big job. Praise the Lord. You bring one of them puppies and let's fill our new auditorium with 250 people or so and have one of them puppies start squalling in the middle of service and another one and another one and another one and then they do other nasty things and the aroma changes in the room. No, it's a big deal. It's a real big deal. You know, everything is big. Did you know, I'm just going to go ahead and say this, there's no little jobs at home. It all goes together. We were busy. My wife taught full-time. I was working 80, 90, 100-hour weeks as well in the ministry. My kids were church rats. They were there all the time. We weren't home a lot. They're still rats, but now... But anyway, we were all busy. But we all had duties at home. My wife didn't do the laundry for five people. She trained her kids to do their laundry and help get laundry done. Saturday afternoon was cleaning afternoon, and we would all get home from soul winning and different things, and we would volunteer, okay, who's going to do the vacuuming? Who's going to do the dusting? Who's going to do the bathrooms? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? And we divvied everything out. Everybody did their job. Say, preacher, did you? Yeah, I've cleaned many a toilets and tubs and sinks, and I've swept and I've dusted and I've done all those jobs. You say, why? Because she helped with the work. Guess what? I need to help with the house. She was bringing in income to help us. Guess what? It's my job to help her. Said, well, she's supposed to clean the house. Well, she was working full time. Guess what? I can get off my blessed do nothing and help her too. Amen. Work got done, then play got done. That's just how it was. You say, well, I don't believe that way. Then don't be that way. But guess what? I didn't complain about something that I cleaned that was dirty. Around our house, you complain about it, go fix it. Amen. Hate to disappoint you, but around the church, you're going to complain about it. I'm going to shove a rag in your hand and say, go clean it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You got time to complain. You got time to clean. Isn't that the way it was put it when I was growing up, Pop? You got time to lean. You got time to clean. And that's just the way it is. Say, what is that? No, there's no such thing as a little job. You say, well, preacher, when we get into the new building, is all I'm going to do is be a greeter and shake hands. That's a big job. Amen. All I'm going to be is somebody out in the parking lot helping make sure that Hmong doesn't kill everybody. I mean, that everybody gets parked in a spot. But that's a big job. You got to have a smile on your face, and you got to be willing to, hey, this way, and do it. And the crabby old person that won't listen to you and goes their own way, and you smile and say it's okay. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's a big job. You say, well, all I do is usher. That's a big job. Is all I do is help in a Sunday school class or I help in junior church. That's a big job. It doesn't matter what the job is. You say, well, I'm going to only vacuum the auditorium. Then make sure that you do it as unto the Lord. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. We ought to be willing to do it and do it right. By the way, if you'd live your life at work that way, it sure would go a lot easier. Some of you only do the jobs that everybody sees well. Some of you only work hard when the boss is looking. Ouch. Some of us only... By the way, this goes all the way down to schoolwork, just so you know.
Amen. That's good preaching.
If you went to Ecclesiastes 9... Yeah. Should we look at your report card? If you notice in Ecclesiastes 9, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth do, it said there's no wisdom. That's in reference to education. It talks about education, it talks about your work, talks about every aspect of life. There's no such thing as a little job. Boy, there's just so much I want to say there, but I can I tell you something? When you don't view life in view of how big something is or how little something is, that every job's important, you'll find out how rich life can be.
That's right.
You really will. Your job might be escorting kids from junior church to the potty. But that's a big job because I don't want it in the hallway. Yeah. Say, how do you know? Because I've been around kids. And you say, that's just a little thing. No, it's not. It's a big thing. Well, preachers, all I do is... What do you mean, all you do? It's a big thing. It is a big thing. Job. Selling tickets is a big job. We just got to make every job a big job for the Lord. Everybody understand that? By the way, live that way at home, you'll find out how good life can be. If you quit looking at and measuring, well, my job's bigger than your job. Okay, your dirt's not as dirty as somebody else's dirt. As we said this morning, quit comparing dirt. Number two, I got to hurry up. Number two, Joshua was a loyal man. Look at Joshua chapter 1 again. Joshua was a loyal man. And by the way, one of the most important qualities a person can have is being loyal. Our country has gotten away from loyalty. I'm just going to make a statement here that's not going to be politically correct, but add it to the list of them. President Trump has a right to complain about Senator John McCain and his disloyalty.
Amen.
We've known for 2 years John McCain worked very hard against President Trump, flew his own people to Europe to get the dossier that was fake in the first place and was supported by Hillary Clinton to do it. Everybody doing okay? That's called the swamp. It's called disloyal. I'm not against his service to our country, but he did a vast disservice the many last years of his life. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. Look at verse number 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Joshua was loyal. God said, this is what you're going to do. And notice, he immediately went to the officers and said, in 3 days we're going, get everything gathered together because we're going in and we're taking the land in 3 days. He didn't waste no time. Amen. I want you to notice something about loyalty, though. Loyalty is not based in a person. Loyalty is based in a principle, not in a person. Amen. Let me show you what I mean. My wife and I will have been married 30 years this June 24th. It is 30 years, isn't it? Okay. I was right. To her, it's probably 20. 20 extra, I mean. It was funny. My mom and dad and my wife and I were out to eat on Friday in honor of my wife's birthday. And the young man serving the table, he said, how long have y'all been married combined? And between my mom and dad and I and my wife, we had 88 years of marriage at the table. He said, wow. And I got to thinking, my dad's got a brother and a sister that have been married over 50 years. My mom's got a sister that's been married over 50 years. My dad's parents were married 64, 65 years before they passed away. My other set of grandparents were married almost 50 years before grandpa died, and she was a widow for almost 40 years thereafter. My brother's been married 36 years. Something like that. Let's see, Brandy was born in 85, and they were married at least a year before then, so probably 34, 35 years. What's that? Brittany, that's what I meant, one of those. He had a few of them in there, I don't know. But, you know, we're the babies. We've only been married 29 years. And that poor kid had a heart attack when we said we were married 30 years and then found out they were married since Noah got off the ark. Now, can I tell you something? I'm loyal to my wife, not because she's my wife. I'm loyal to my wife due to the principles of the Word of God. As people change, if you're only loyal to a person, as people change, your loyalty will change. That's why churches change. Churches change because they get loyal to an institution. And the old pastor leaves or passes away, and a new person comes in who's going a different direction. And because of that, the church starts changing direction, and people say, well, we've been going here all this time. I'm just going to stay loyal. No, you're supposed to stay loyal to principle, not to an institution.
Right.
Not to a person. I have friends that I still love, but they've changed direction and I don't spend time with them. Say why? Because I'm loyal to the principles of the Word of God. I've had friends who have gotten up and said, well, the King James Bible is no longer inspired, it's just preserved, and I separated a friendship from them. It's not just preserved, it's still inspired. It's the ever-living Word of God.
Amen. That's
good. Period, end of discussion. You start messing with the Bible, you mess with it all. Amen. Well, it was only inspired in the originals. Nobody ever had it, and Jesus called the Old Testament Scripture. And there was 4,000 years of history between Jesus and the originals. How about 2,000 years since Jesus? Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
If it was good enough for the Son of God, it's good enough for me.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Our loyalty is to be based on principle, not to a person, not to an institution. I'll just go ahead and say it. People change. Places change. The Bible college I graduated from and eventually worked at no longer wants me, and that doesn't bother me because they changed. I didn't. They're mad at me for living what they taught me to do. Go figure. Go figure. You say, there's people there I know and love dearly. There's people I wished I could introduce you to because I love them, but because they've changed, I won't do it. Period. Everybody doing all right? Colleges change. Churches change. Well, grandma's buried back behind the church. We just might as well stay here. We'll dig up grandma and put her somewhere else. Shame most of those churches have more people in the graveyard than they have in church. Go look. Just about true. More people in the cemetery than there is in the auditorium. Can I tell you something? We're not supposed to stay loyal to something because at one time it was right. If it changes, stay loyal to the truths and the Word of God. I'm loyal to my wife because of the principles of the Word of God. If you're loyal to the right principles, you'll be loyal to the right people.
Amen.
It's that simple. By the way, you don't have to throw a big fit. You don't have to get angry and make national statements. As I put distance between myself and people that change, I don't make big statements. I just quietly retreat. I just stay the course. And what happens is, as I stay the course and don't say anything, they're veering off and they say, hey, how come you won't come over here? Because you're supposed to be over here. You're the one that changed. I didn't. You come over here, then we'll talk. I'm not going over there to talk. Just like in Nehemiah, when they came to get him down off the wall, he said, I cannot come down, for the work that I do is too big. He said, I'm not going to come down to where you are. You come up to where I am. That's exactly what God wants us to do. Loyalty is pretty deep. We're not supposed to be loyal to places. We're not supposed to be loyal to people. We're supposed to be loyal to the principles of the Word of God. And that's what Joshua did.
That's good.
He did what God commanded Moses to do 40 years before then. Matter of fact, when they went into the land of Canaan, the Amorites said, we knew 40 years ago you were coming and everybody was afraid. We were ready to give up and run. We've been waiting 40 years for you to show up. Bible says that the dread was before them. God had already prepared the Canaanites to leave 40 years before then. Number three, and I got to hurry. This is the part that I couldn't wait to get to. Joshua was successful for a long time. Joshua was successful for a long time. We live in a world that wants to criticize and make evil of long-term success. I don't have to agree with everything our president says or does, but I will tell you this, he's been successful for a long time. Notice how everybody wants to criticize him? People haven't built a hot dog stand want to criticize him.
Exactly.
You got a bunch of people that have a pen or a computer that want to type stories that couldn't blow their own nose. wouldn't know how to run a popsicle stand in hell, and they want to say that he doesn't know what he's doing with the country. They have not had any measure of success other than they know the right people to get their stories into print. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
We want to take somebody that is a head of a corporation and make them evil because they just make way too much money. Now, everybody listen to me for a second. How many of you have ever been hired by a poor person? How many of you have ever had a street person pay your salary? It takes successful people to make the world go round.
Yes, amen.
It takes people with money to pay people that have no money.
That's right.
Let's face it. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
We have an instant society that wants to make everybody equal. No, they don't want equality. No. FDR was a communist.
Yes, he was.
FDR said we have no true equality in America till we have economic equality. He got that right out of the Communist Manifesto. There is no such thing as economic equality. We are to have equal right to jobs. We're to have equal right to opportunity to earn a living in this world.
Amen.
As long as you're an American citizen.
Amen.
We have folks that are crossing the border by the hundreds of thousands and millions that have more rights than you and I do. And the state of California and the state of Maryland and the state of New York are passing laws so that people that are not even American citizens can vote. That's why they want to get rid of... that's why they want to get rid of when you register at the DMV to get your voter registration. It's called motor voter because they don't want to make it to where you can be a citizen. They just want you to be able to get your voter registration so that you can vote for whoever, even though you're illegal. Everybody doing all right? There is nowhere in the Constitution we are guaranteed equal opportunity financially.
That's right.
The only thing that we are guaranteed equal is justice and the opportunity to make a living and protection.
Amen.
That's it. Protect your land, protect your person, and to protect us with our laws. Our laws are there to protect us equally. By the way, the law is supposed to be doled out equally, including to the people that make the laws.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
We need longevity of people that know how to succeed. We need longevity of marriages. I long for people to understand the greatness of long-term marriage. Long-term marriage. When my wife and I were talking about being married, I asked her to marry me. I said, one thing, if you say yes, the word divorce never comes up no matter what happens between us. Thank God she agreed. Whatever happened to long-term church membership?
Amen.
You know, the average person lasts in church less than 5 years. Less than 5 years. We need long-term walk with God. How long has it been since you walked with God? Do you walk with Him every day? Do you long to spend time with Him? You see, longevity is attained by keeping the end in view. Now listen to this. It's not focusing on the problems, the hurt, the battles, and the opposition between you and the end. It's keeping the end before you at all times. That's how you make it. It's keeping the finish line in view. Longevity of building a building. It's keeping the finish line in view. Believe me, there's been days I wasn't sure we were even on the right track. I wasn't sure we were even running, at least forwards. There's times I wonder if we were passing the ball to the other team and letting them score. But we kept the end in view. Guess what? We're just about there.
Amen.
Just about there. God wants and God needs some Christians who will endure the battles and serve Him a long time. Let me just say it, whether your family does or not.
Right.
We all have family that doesn't want to serve God, just so you know.
Yep.
You say, preacher, you don't. Yeah, right. Whether your friends do or not. Well, I have good friends, and they just don't want to serve God. They're not as good a friend as you think they are, first of all.
Right.
Second of all, whether they change or not isn't the issue. And may I say this, you're going to see casualties along the way. You're going to see people who run when problems come. You're going to have friends that will run when the first time problems come. You're going to have people who get wounded, and when they get wounded, they just curl up and don't show up anymore. Like an animal that's injured. They'll go hide. You're going to have people who are captured by the enemy. We're going to have some of our people that allow the devil to get to them and destroy their life. But can I tell you something? I'm going forward. I'm not going to stop just because somebody else gave up, ran away, or got captured. By the way, you're going to have traitors. They're going to switch sides. They're going to infiltrate, and every once in a while, the preacher's going to scold the dog, amen. You're going to hear them bark. It's okay. Keep on going. It'll be all right. We don't fight this fight because of the people with whom we fight. The cause is the work of God and right.
That's good.
It's not the people.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay?
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you something? We're going to face lawsuits. You're going to face false accusation. You don't love the bus kids. Yeah, right. I've watched preachers go through legal battles because boys and girls and everybody getting baptized. And I've seen it in the newspapers. Baptist Church makes children take off all their clothes and parade in front of people. Oh, yeah. They called it child abuse and sexual molestation and everything else. Legal battle after legal battle after legal battle. Been through them. Been through it, Chicago Tribune, you name it. Those things are coming. The alphabet soup crowd, you know, the LGBTQ sodomites. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. All of them. They're going to be attacking. There is coming a day where our church will be under fire. Can I tell you something? Don't back off. Let's just keep on reaching people. Let's keep loving people. The cause is people. Hey, Miss Regina, come on in. The cause is people. It's the work of God. It's not a matter of building a building. It's not a matter of, well, my best friend, they are a casualty. I'm sorry, but keep on going. Keep on running on. Joshua, my hero. Joshua died at 110 years old. In his last days, he said, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. From what I can tell, somewhere in the neighborhood of almost 70 years, Joshua served the Lord. I find roughly 70 years. That means this. I'm about halfway there. I got about 38 and a half years in. If I can last another 32 years, I could just about make it. Lord have mercy. I'll be as old as Fred. Just wheel me in from the nursing home and let me drool all over. Can I tell you something? Let me tell you a story. I was standing next to Dr. Joe Boyd one day at a revival meeting. Dr. Joe Boyd was an evangelist. He was probably in his 70s at the time. Brother Boyd was a great, big, old, tough old man. He played for one of the Texas college football teams. I think he played for Baylor when they won the state championship. He was on the Washington Redskins football team. Broke his neck. He was a defensive tackle. Great big old tough man. Had hands about that big. Brother Boyd got right with God. Became a preacher. Became an evangelist. Just saw hundreds of thousands of people saved through his ministry. looked like David versus Goliath. I'm standing there, and Brother Boyd and I were talking one day, and I said, Brother Joe, I said, I love you. He said, Brother Bush, he said, how old are you? And I told him, I was in my 20s. He said, how long you been preaching? I said, Brother Boyd, I started preaching when I was 13 years old. Big old tears began to drip off that man's face. I said, Brother Joe, I said, don't take this the wrong way, but if I live as long as you have lived, and I stay in the ministry as long as you have, I will have been preaching almost 25 years longer than you by the time I get your age. Put his big old arms around me and picked me up like a bottle of pop and started squeezing. And he said, Brother Bush, he said, I wished I could say that. He said, I hope you finish strong. He said, don't change. Amen. I said, don't worry, Brother Joe, I'm not. I remember the day I went to Munster Hospital and he was facing open heart surgery. Brother Hiles had called me and asked me to, he said, I just left Brother Joe's room. He's going to have surgery. Brother Joe's calling for you. Don't care what you're doing. He said, do you have a college class tonight? I said, not tonight. He said, if you did, I'd cancel it. He said, you get to the hospital. You go pray with Brother Joe. I said, yes, sir. I got there and I spent a little bit of time with him in the ICU. I walked out and there were two men standing in the hallway. They began to criticize. They began to attack me. They began to attack Brother Hiles. Standing in the hallway of the hospital, I literally had to push my way through. Guess what? I got to be in Brother Joe's funeral. They showed up. They were passing their cards out to everybody. They were disloyal. I'd like to finish strong like Joshua. How about you? I'd like to finish my marriage strong. I'd like to finish pastoring and being in the ministry strong. I'd like to finish my friendships strong. I'd like to stay strong all the way to the end like Joshua did. Long-term success. My hero, Joshua. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. There's a few lessons in there. There's no such thing as a little job. Longevity of serving God? Oh, yes. No doubt. Joshua was loyal. Wonder, is there somebody here tonight? Say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, many, many hands. You may put them down.